Now, I don't own any farm. I don't own a farm, rather, or any land, but I love chatting about land prices. Two large farms have just come on the market, and the difference in their asking prices tells us an awful lot about how we value land today. The first is in Connemara, a 685-acre farm. It is listed at €950,000, which works out at just under €1,400 an acre. The second is an 805-acre farm attached to Rockwell Cottage in Tipperary that the Spiritan Order has been forced to sell. And it has an asking price of €21 million. That's just over €26,000 an acre. Two farms, both in Ireland, both sizable, yet their price tags could not be more different. So what does it say about land prices today? Well, with me this morning are Michael Brady, land agent and managing director of the Brady Group, Liam Hennessy, nature financing lead with Hometree, and Ronan Power, interim CEO of Solar Ireland. Good morning to you all. Michael, I might start with you. You've no involvement in either of these two sales, but looking at Rockwell Farm at 26,000 an acre, when the average price of good quality land is half that, you've identified five potential types of buyers who might have a spare 21 million in their pocket. Can we start at the top with the trophy investor?
Okay. Good morning, Ella. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, look, it's a phenomenal amount of money. This is probably the biggest dairy farm that has come for sale in Ireland, in my career, certainly. And yes, look, who's going to buy it? Top of the pile has to be the high net worth individuals. We've recently seen the game played out in the courts and the Barron Estate. Those two individuals will certainly be in Tipperary looking for this land. And there are others. There are individuals who've sold businesses for literally billions in this country. And land is, we have an innate, I suppose, relationship with property and land in this country. And there's an emotional side comes into it. I call it the H factor, the human factor. And that's going to be at play here. So number one, high net worth individuals. Number two, we call them tax investors. There are tax benefits for transferring assets from one generation to the next. That'll be at play here as well. And then number three, you have the various land investors who are people who just have some money, want to invest in land and take a long-term view. Number four, unfortunately, the farmer is a long ways down the list when it comes to the trophy farm in Rockwell. But farmers are still the main purchasers of land. There could possibly be a syndicate of farmers come together to buy this. And finally, you have a certain amount of private equity coming in. We have private equity coming into every other business sector, maybe in the economy, not so much in farming, except forestry. Private equity is effectively pension funds or huge investment funds who decide to invest in the country. So there are your five categories, Ella.
And you can't, I mean, we can't possibly talk about Rockwell without asking about, as you mentioned, the Barn Estate case. You yes. have John Magner. I mean, what do you think are the chances that this land will end up with Coolmore horses instead of dairy cows on it? I mean, is it priced for him, basically?
Yes, exactly. That's it. Or for others. Others, there are more than them. That's a strong possibility. It's in the area of Coolmore. They bought a dairy farm last year, Kilree, up in County Kilkenny. They bought that one as well. So it could stay in Daring. It would be a shame, in my opinion, for it to come out of Daring. There's been a Rotary Parlour put in there recently. The only thing I would say about Rockwell that maybe might lend it towards a farmer syndicate is that there's no period house in Rockwell for sale with the farm. It's Rockwell Farms for sale. It's not the old Rockwell College School, which I understand is still continuing. So that might just take it down a peg, you know.
And it makes the price tag even more
up because it is split by the old Cork Dublin Road. So it'll be interesting to see. But I agree, it is priced for that. When you look at the return on investment at 25,000-26,000 an acre, it's phenomenal. I've done a few figures on it there, Ellen. Like 21 million is the asking price for the land. But by the time you'd be in there milking cows, you'd have over 25 million spent. Like a phenomenal
You'd
figure
want to be farming
is that the stamp
gold,
duty alone yeah, on that yeah. would be nearly 1.6 million.
Liam
You'd
Hennessy.
You buy a farm for 1.6 million.
Indeed. Liam Hennessy, talk to me about the Uachtaráid farm. What kind of buyer would be looking at that? Would it just be a kind of traditional farmer type or not?
That's a very good question.
Liam.
Good morning, Ella. Thanks for having me on as well. So when we look at the Uachtaráid farm, I suppose we have to look at the landscape of the buyers maybe out the west. If we're looking at regular farmers out the west of Ireland, we can see a lot of income insecurity arising from the farm systems that exist there. So I envision demand for a farm that size off local purchasers. The demand might be quite high, but capacity to buy that land or actually even source funding might be quite low. You know, chances are that that property, whether it's an existing farmer or an outside farmer, to buy that property will be using not non-farming income sources or non-farming assets, as well as, you know, the Rockwell farm, you know. So it's a bit of a challenge, while the purchaser might...
I wonder what kind of buyer would be in the market for it. I mean, anyone who's keeping an eye on the likes of carbon and nature credits and that kind of financing might begin to look ahead in the next couple of years, and 1,400 an acre as it's priced at the moment might look like very good value.
Absolutely. And we are seeing that, I suppose. We can see it ourselves in Hometree with maybe people around or in our kind of environment. You are seeing a lot of speculative buyers enter into the marketplace for sites like Uachtaráid. There's a nice property on that. People might think it'd be a nice holiday home with their own private parkland. We are seeing speculative buyers, and that's arising really because of the lack of insecurity or the lack of sentiment towards existing environmental programs within the Irish state. So any potential purchaser of that site is speculative. And as a result, maybe for the more conventional buyer, it might just be a bit rich for people's taste at the moment. There's no line of sight maybe to those existing income streams you're talking about, whether it's nature or it's carbon or it's biodiversity. So at this present point in time, it's highly speculative, which unfortunately leads to maybe a lot of outside or remote interest that could harm the local environment and economy and community as much as help it.
It's not just private money, though, is it? There's also public money looking ahead, I suppose, particularly the Nature Restoration Law, the chance that there may be the likes of the Upland Native Woodland Scheme coming on. Again, between the potential of private money coming in, nature financing, and public money funding more nature-based restoration, that kind of parcel of land could look quite attractive.
Absolutely, and I guess that's specifically where Hometree are trying to position ourselves, in that we're trying to take ideally privately owned land held by local landowners and farmers, combining that with access to, you know, public sources of funding to help the Irish government and the Irish people achieve this nature restoration law. I suppose the term aggregator is what's being coined out there, where we're a service provider for nature restoration in these areas, while maybe not trying to displace the existing cultures or the people that live there. You know, I know there's a lot of, I suppose, community resistance or political resistance to the estate going in and acquiring land. We see that recently with pushback on the MPWS acquiring sites. I see a space for that ideally, but, you know, we also want to appreciate the people that exist in those communities and maybe their spirit. If there's local buyers, or there's, we'd say, local interest for those sites, I don't see why we can't do that, why we can't affect nature restoration in partnership with the people too, you know.
Ronan Power, good morning. Solar industry, I mean, in terms of the land being used in new ways, your industry is changing the landscape in a very visual way. Within 15 years, you want to target 68,000 acres. I mean, that's a huge, vast quantity of land. Where is it going to go?
It'll mostly go where the demand is required, right? We're seeing a huge increase in demand for electricity in Ireland, aligned to our national electrification strategy and our climate action targets. So at the moment, the deployment is heavy in Meath, Wexford, anywhere where there's good sunlight and available land and demand and the ability to connect the assets to the grid.
So you need more than anything else to connect to the grid. You need that kind of infrastructure. So the Uachtaráid farm out in Mayo, it's no huge interest to you at the moment?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know if any of the developers have been looking at it, but it's not to say that it wouldn't be of interest, but there would be a huge amount of studies that have to go into that land before you'd be able to decide if it's capable of taking on a solar installation or not.
Do you want to buy land?
No, mostly we would look at leasing land in this industry and create kind of like parallel revenue streams for farmers. I think it's probably overlooked quite a bit, where you you're moving into what could be a 40-year lease for a farmer. You know, over that term, it gives fixed incomes to the farmers, which they can actually borrow against. You know, so if they're looking to innovate in their own ways or invest into their own machinery or optimize their operations, they can actually use those future cash flows to borrow against.
21 million for 800 acres. Would solar give any return on that?
It would be a challenge. It would have to be said. I think it would be a challenge to get a return on 21 million for the farm, no matter what you're doing. I think you mentioned farming gold. I think it's probably a good place to start.
I suppose whether you're farming vegetables, tillage, livestock or solar, it is in essence all about farming energy. But how do you respond to criticism that food producing land is being lost to solar farms? Because there are farmers anecdotally who will say these solar industry people are coming along and they're pushing prices way beyond what farmers can afford.
I don't think it's fair necessarily to say that, right? There's a use of land for everything, okay? So we're looking at, you know, 10% of the land in Ireland is currently used for sheep farming, as an example, of grasslands. Sheep farming and solar farms can actually coexist. So you can actually sheep farm in the same proper land as you're doing there. Anecdotally, golf courses will use about twice the amount of land than we'll actually use to hit our 8 gigawatt climate action target at 2030. I'm a massive golf fan, so I'm not saying that we shouldn't be golfing. But what I mean is that we're probably looking at things with today's eyes rather than thinking to ourselves, what's this investment mean? But also, I think if you look at the way farming is, it's alternative revenue streams for farmers, right? It's their land. They've obviously made a decision to go down this route to secure long-term income for their farm and help to support their operations.
Liam, can I ask about rewilding? I mean, there are a number of big investors who have a lot of spare cash. They're prepared with a big parcel of land like the one in Uachtarard to put money into it. I mean, are they also putting farmers out of business over there and pushing land prices up?
Yeah, it's a challenge with regards to, we'd say, those high ticket investors, as Michael would describe them. I guess, you know, I'd always ask what you classify as a farmer. If you're talking about an existing group of people in an area, they're farmers. But, you know, a lot of people aspire to, you said at the outset that you don't own land. A lot of people aspire to own land and be farmers. And we talk about new entrants quite a bit. You know, I don't see where we can start deciding who gets to be a farmer and who doesn't. You spoke about farming for energy there. You know, we can farm for nature. We can class nature as an output as well. You know, where that comes into energy, you know, farming upland or farming lowland extensively for nature, you'll also have a food output, but you'll also have a nature output, whether that's from potentially high net worth individuals or people who have been there all along. I don't know. When we need to get nature into our local environment so desperately, I don't see how we can sit in judgment as to who we should allow to do it, you know.
But with the focus on nature restoration, do you think this term marginal land, which has been used so much for land west of the Shannon, that really that's a thing of the past, that the land there, for example, in Uachtarard, could generate a lot of value if the potential is seized by whoever might buy it?
I agree with you 100%, Ella. The term marginal, in my mind, is subjective. We're just deciding on the value of the potential outcome of it. You know, that farm in Uachtarard, in my mind, from the lens of the organisation I'm working with, is a potentially a high output property, you know.
Michael, just going back to you, John Magner's rival for the Barron estate, Maurice Regan, the building tycoon, has said that he won't bid against any dairy farmer, but he has declared an interest in buying Rockwell Farm, perhaps in some sort of partnership with local farmers. Do you think that's likely?
It's pure marketing, Ella. Pure marketing, in my opinion. I think, yeah, well, he could buy it and lease it back out to the farmers. There is a possibility of a partnership as well. But at the end of the day, if Mr. Regan decides to buy this, he's buying it for himself first. You know, he will decide what land use he will do. He could put horses on it himself. He could run his own dairy farm there. He'd go into partnership with a farmer. In my opinion, I think that's a marketing comment and it was put out there for the media.
Okay. And I lapped it up, Michael.
I lapped it up. We have a 63-acre farm if you want to buy a farm. You mentioned you're in the market for land.
I have a spare 21 million in my pocket. Of course I do. Thank you very much. Michael Brady, Land Agent and Managing Director of the Brady Group. Liam Hennessy, Nature Financing Lead with Hometree. And Ronan Power, who joined me from Interim CEO from Solar Ireland, will keep a close eye on what happens to those two land parcels.